All right, let's play some winners and losers of the weekend as we sit here on Monday, kicking off the week. Sam, you got your intro ready yet?
Yeah.
All right, can you fire it up for us?
Winners and losers of the weekend.
I didn't know you were going to sing it.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I just need to go back and get all the clips of Cody singing it. Winners and losers.
Oh, so he would sing one?
Winners. Thanks for listening, Bob. And losers. Winners and losers.
Been about this time, you'd be like, all right, Cody, stop.
Winners and losers. All right, Bob, who won this weekend?
All right, number three was Vern Lundquist. Wraps up an unbelievable career, 40 years calling the Masters, not to mention all the other stuff he did with college basketball, college football. And CBS went, I wouldn't call it overboard, but they gave him a heaping amount of praise yesterday, and it was well-deserved. I mean, I was there for all of it. It was happy to hear it. He was very understated, you know, because really his last run was the 16th hole with the leaders with Scheffler up there, and he just did it the way he always did it. And
it's like his voice is cracking a little bit.
Yeah,
he was
emotional,
yeah.
I think so. And then I don't know if you saw any video on social media of Tiger stopping and shaking hands with him.
I didn't see the video, but I saw the picture. Yeah, as it is now going to be one of the most memed pictures coming out of maybe of 2024, because it looks like Tiger's just shaking hands with a tree. Yeah. And it's like me when I switched to paperless billing.
Yeah.
Well, the other one, too, was there's a picture I'm looking at right here where Tiger's standing on the 16th green and Vern's in the background, like sitting next to the tree and just sitting there. And it's like, it's very stocky looking, to be perfectly honest with you. But once you hear the context of it and everything else, it's pretty great.
So that's it for Vern, right? Because, I mean, he was still doing golf. That was the only thing he was still doing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was able to
death now waits you.
I was very
not like Vern.
Very fortunate. I was flying out. What year was this? Was it maybe 20? What year do you recall, John, when Tennessee beat Kansas when they were number one in the country in basketball here in Knoxville? It was 2010?
2010.
Yeah. The next morning, because that was a Sunday game, next morning I was flying out of town for work. I was in the security line, and it was a long one. And I turn around and look, and there's Vern Lundquist, like, right behind me. And
have you ever
made
it through an airport checkout that fast?
Yeah, he was and I was like, you know, fine line. I'm a big believer in, like, I'm a huge fan, so I wanted to say something, but I don't want to bother him either. But I did just lean over and said, hey, Mr. Lundquist, just such a big fan, you know, just wanted to say hello. And he was like, oh, thank you. It was very short.
He said, get out of my face.
Yeah, he was a little disheveled, if I'm not I could be honest, but of course, you know,
woke up with a hangover trying to get to the airport. Vern liked the party.
Yeah. So anyway, nice little send off for him. But my second one, Caitlin Clark, appeared on Saturday Night Live. The love affair with women's college basketball continues. Of course, she's in New York because the WNBA draft is tonight in Brooklyn, and she was on Weekend Update, which was kind of cool because Michael Che teed it up by saying that Caitlin Clark was going to trade in her sneakers for an apron. And so then, you know, they did that on purpose because then they have Caitlin Clark there. And Caitlin goes, actually, I'm here to talk, you know, and she gave some real praise to women's basketball, but then said, I've written a couple jokes that I'd like for you to read. It was kind of like what they typically do with Jost and Che. They were pretty funny jokes. And of course, she very likely did not write them, but the best one was something to the effect of, I'm going to be drafted by the Indiana Fever, which, by the way, is not to be confused with what Michael Che gave a bunch of Purdue co-eds during his visit in Indiana, you know, just stuff like that. She read them. She did a good job. So, again, continues to raise the profile of women's basketball. When she came on, the place went nuts, too, as far as the studio audience. So that was kind of cool. My top winner of the week, we've talked about this a little bit, and I know the guys about the show and everything else, but I'm going to say Danny White. And the reason I say that is everything that happened this weekend, running the gamut from the unified Vol walk with the basketball team and the football team, and you know, the way they flexed the Kim Caldwell hire this weekend. Orange and white game, kind of lackluster, but, you know, they built a lot of things around it, you know, culminated by a baseball sweep. I also heard an interview while I was in the car. I was driving for a little bit, and they were interviewing Danny White. And he was just talking about everything he's, you know, they're trying to do. And make no mistake, it's about making money, but it's also, he understands that the way you get to making money is have the fans spend money and creating facilities and everything else that's better than what they've had. And so he just to me, I think about the comparison of, can you imagine ever achieving even a fraction of this stuff with Philip Fulmer as the AD? I would say no. without a doubt.
That's such a funny funny thought exercise. No, I don't think Phil Fulmer could do anything as an AD.
Yeah.
And much less put on a show like this and have everything stable and feel like it's so well ran. No. I don't think so.
So I felt like this was just again, we've talked about it before. We're thankful for the administration we have. He's part of it. I just felt like this weekend, even with a lackluster orange and white game, it was just a showcase of what this university's athletic programs are about right now. Those are my winners.
We haven't shouted out the softball team, but another series win for them. They lost game one at Mississippi State, but battled back in 2 and 3 to win that series as they continue to lead the SEC standings, I believe, by 2 games. I believe they're 12-3, and the next closest is 10-5. My losers of the weekend, number 3, I went with the Minnesota Timberwolves, who had a chance to be the one seed, and they did not get the one seed. They end up in the 3 seed after getting blown out by the Phoenix Suns, who they now have to play in the first round of the playoffs. Minnesota was in kind of pole position all year in the West to win the West, at least in the regular season. But they kind of faltered over the last couple months. Oklahoma City, Denver passed them. And the Suns and Timberwolves play, and the Suns kind of own the T-Wolves. 3-0 against them this year with 2 blowout wins and another double-digit win. So all 3 games have been double-digit losses for the Timberwolves, and now they got to play Kevin Durant and Devin Booker. And Bradley Beal looks good over the last, you know, month of the season. So not good for Minnesota. Number 2, I went with the Chick-fil-A in Los Angeles. I don't know if you guys saw this last night, but maybe my favorite thing in sports last night was Boban. Boban, yes. Who is looking more freakish than usual. I don't know if his ears are still growing or what, but like he looks very freakish. But he, of course, is a Clippers fan favorite from his time there. They run a promotion where if you miss 2 free throws, if an opponent misses 2 free throws in the fourth quarter, everyone in the crowd gets a free sandwich. Boban missed the first free throw, then is caught on video telling the whole crowd, I'm going to miss this one too. I got you guys. This is a thank you. Like, this is a gift from me. And then he misses the second free throw. The crowd goes crazy, and he's kind of pumping them up. I think he didn't get to play much at all this year. He was just kind of a vibes guy on the bench, but seemed like he was having a good time yesterday. Missed the free throws on purpose to get his fans some chicken. Also lost 2 jump balls to someone who is 6 foot throughout that game. So I think he was just out there putting on a show. But the Los Angeles Chick-fil-A, who is now going to have to give everyone in attendance a chicken sandwich because Boban tanked it on purpose. My second biggest losers of the weekend. Number 1, the Braves. Spencer Strider out for the year. Another injury for him. That's his second big-time injury. No other way to slice it. Got to be a loss for them. They got to be the losers of the weekend. Sam, anybody we missed?
For my winners, I had
no. You're losers. Wait, did we do losers first?
No, we did winners.
I did losers first.
Bob did winners, and you just went losers.
So. God, I had it messed in the wrong order.
Yeah. So you want to roll your winners out, or you want me to?
man, I blew that. Not sure how that happened. I think I wrote winners first, or maybe I had them in back order, and then I switched them, but then I forgot to switch. Okay.
I thought maybe I had some of your winners.
No, so. No. I just wrote it down in the wrong order.
Okay.
I blew it.
Do you want to roll it? Do you want to? You want me to come in relief?
Anybody? Anybody? any? I don't know what to do. I really don't know what to do.
Let's stay on. Let's do this. We'll stay on losers.
Yeah, I was gonna say let's go back to losers, and then Sam, you just get to throw. Now you do your.
Yeah, listener, we're formatting the show live, so.
Just dyslexia. That's what I'm
blaming. We'll do losers, and you can end it on a high note with your winners. How about that?
I got no other option, Bob.
Yeah, I'm just.
We got no other option.
I'm selling it. Okay, my losers. I only have two of them. First of all, the quote unquote. I'm using air quotes. If you can see me on the. X video, the A-list professional golfers and the challenges of Augusta. It's a tough course. Conditions were tough. But my goodness, man, former winners, Rahm, Matsuyama, Spieth, Phil, all of them, super high scores. Spieth missed the cut. Other golfers of note, Rory, Koepka, DJ missed the cut. Finau. DeChambeau had a couple days near the top and he was still a top 10 finish, but he faded pretty precipitously on the last couple of days. It was we know that's an unforgiving course, but man, when we have all this talk about, you know, the best golfers in the world, this was a lot in my opinion. I mean, these were like all of the guys for the most part, with the exception obviously of Scottie Scheffler and Morikawa, but It was interesting to see. And then my other one was Prince Harry. Excerpts from his autobiography apparently indicate that he admitted to trying several drugs. And now the investigation may be underway to confirm that this could be a problem, because it's pretty likely he didn't disclose that in his visa application. So... there's that could
get
be
him out of here.
Yeah,
send him back.
Yeah,
get him out of here.
Could be trouble for Prince Harry at this point. Those are my losers.
All right, Sam, any losers you want to add on to that? I already gave my three.
Mine are pretty similar to Bob's. It was some golf stuff, but JT for me, he went 7 over in his last four holes to miss.
God,
the
I forgot
by
about
one.
JT. Too.
And stinks. Then also Wyndham Clark, he went 1 over in the first round and was talking trash to these live guys about playing in 54 hole tournaments and like, oh, these guys aren't going to be prepared for 72. And
oh,
then
no.
He went out and shot like 7 over the next day to miss the cut himself.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say he fell apart on Sunday.
Oh no, he just missed the cut. Like he was talking about these guys not being able to play a full tournament and he couldn't even play
very,
himself.
Very dismissive after the first round. Like, I'm fine, man. And all these live guys, they don't play 54. I'm good. And missed the cut.
Yeah.
I saw Zach Johnson also make a fool of himself as he was telling the crowd to bleep off after.
And then denied it.
Oh, really?
Like in the press conference, they asked him about it. He was like, what do you mean?
I didn't do that at all. Said I was mad at myself. I mean, I might have said something
to
myself.
Zach Johnson.
I wonder if he actually, like in his mind, was right. Like in his mind, like, I didn't say that. Like I was just,
I was talking to myself.
And I wonder if he actually remembered saying it, because it might have been something like a throwaway to him. I don't know. But yeah, like I saw people dancing on his grave. All right, ending it on a high note. Winners of the weekend. Sam, you got anybody you want to add before I bring it home?
I had Wake Forest baseball player Nick Kurtz. He's hit 13 home runs in 9 games. Just an unbelievable.
Who does he think he is? Christian Moore?
Yeah, I know. And then I also had Marcelo Zuna for how bad the Braves news has been. Marcelo Zuna has been incredible. They were down to their last strike. He hits a 3-run homer. He is off to a very hot start to start the year, hitting .373.
He's
7
leading
homers.
He's leading the NL in all those categories, right? Or at least
leading the league in
of
homers.
Okay.
Yeah, 21 RBIs as well, 22 hits. Hot start for him, but yeah, tough news with Spencer Strider, obviously.
My winners of the weekend, number 3. I went with Max Holloway, all-time knockout.
Yeah.
All-time moment. A star-making moment when you can get the casuals to like look at it. I don't know if that means like people are going to buy his next fight, but whenever you show that type of power, people take notice, and I want to watch him fight the next time. Number 2 for me, I went with Conan O'Brien. I thought Conan O'Brien had a great weekend. He got his flowers on social media because he did the Hot Ones challenge. Are you familiar with that, Bob?
Yes. I didn't know he did it, but I'm familiar with Hot Ones for sure.
Sam, you familiar with Hot Ones?
Yes, absolutely. I was wondering why Conan O'Brien was in the news, though.
Yeah. Conan O'Brien was in the news because he did Hot Ones, the season finale, and he absolutely dominated. Just kept eating every wing and just like, it's not hot. I'm fine. Like, and like the host is like, oh my God, the host is dying. Because like, no, give me more. And, like, he was just like, really charming in the interview and was really good. And like, And like, it kind of led to people being like, hey, you know, we kind of took this guy for granted, and this guy's great, and all this whole new generation doesn't know how great he was at being a talk show host, and how talk shows in general used to be a thing, and how they weren't just like over-politicized, kind of boring infomercials like they kind of have become since then. So Conan dominated that, got through the whole challenge, was really funny, and has a new HBO show coming out this week. So Conan was my second biggest winner of the weekend. Number one, it's simple. It's boring, just like him, Scotty Scheffler. The face of golf dominated, big payday, record purse for the Masters, and he wins it going away. An easy $3.6 million. He's the biggest winner of the weekend. All right, my bad on messing that up. I wrote it down the wrong order. It won't happen again. Let's go to break. It's the morning show on Fan Run Radio. We'll talk some NBA playoffs coming up next.
Ever been the coach who realized the team? Season,
letting it go. Over the weekend, the NBA ended its regular season. Do you like the new way they do it, Bob, where they do the Friday-Sunday combo? Because I don't feel like they do that on most years, but it's something new that I found myself enjoying. I was a little confused on Saturday when there were no games, but then I realized everyone played Friday and everyone played Sunday as they're jockeying for position and, you know, trying to get the seating set up. Which, by the way, that reminds me. I need to change my losers of the weekend. Number one, I forgot. I can't believe I forgot. I had a note and I didn't see it. The biggest loser of the weekend was Liverpool, by the way, because whenever I talked about that with the way it was like set up at the end of the season, Liverpool choking away the Premier League championship yesterday. I don't know how I missed that. They're the biggest losers of the weekend. So remove Chick-fil-A. Remove Chick-fil-A and put Liverpool there because they gagged away the Premier League championship. Anyways, go ahead.
Yeah, I think for the, if I'm the NBA, the way it worked out with this Friday-Sunday rotation, almost in most instances couldn't have gone better for them on Sunday because there was so much hanging in the balance from a seeding standpoint. I guess the only way it would have been better is if there were teams actually battling for those last play-in positions, but those were all locked up. But the seeding, I mean, I found myself yesterday watching the, of course, being a Pacers fan, that might be contributing to it because I was really curious to see who they were going to play. They had taken care of business against your Hawks, sorry.
We're tanking, it's fine.
Yeah. They needed to win to make sure they didn't end up in a play-in game, and they did. They took care of business, but then
157 points.
They scored over 150 or more three times against the Hawks this season.
Yeah, the Hawks had no interest in playing defense against the Pacers.
But it made me pivot to watch the fourth quarter and overtime of the Knicks-Bulls game, which I would have never done otherwise, but that really mattered because of seeding. You know, I would much rather have the Pacers playing the Bucks in the first round than the Knicks, but that meant the Knicks had to win for that to happen, and they did. So, yeah, I think it generated some interest that otherwise I would have saved for the playoffs itself. So I think it's a pretty good move.
Yeah, it was very strange how hard the Bulls were trying in that game against the Knicks. Like, I don't know why they did it. I guess they have a couple days rest before Wednesday's 9-10 play-in game against the Hawks. But, yeah, they seem to be going all out for that. And the Knicks, you know, locked up the 2 seed and also got to the 50-win plateau for the first time, I think, since 2012 and 13. So, like, it was a big win for them. I understood why they were trying so hard. The Knicks end the season on a 5-game win streak. But yeah, we got the seeding is set in the East. The Celtics ran away with the 1 seed. The Knicks catch the Bucks, pass them. They're the 2 seed. Milwaukee 3, Cleveland 4, Orlando 5, Indiana 6, and then yeah, in the play-in situation, the Sixers will host the Heat in the 7-8 matchup, the Bulls and Hawks in the 9-10. The Sixers just could not make up the ground they lost after Embiid got hurt, so they won 8 games down the stretch in a row to try to get out of the play-in tournament, but they couldn't do it as they lost the tiebreaker to the Pacers and the Magic, and they'll be the 7 seed.
Yeah, and I guess for the Knicks, again, there was a little bit of chatter that maybe Thibodeau was thinking about tanking the last game because, of course, they didn't, obviously, but they, I mean, playing the, particularly if it's the Heat, I think that 2-7 matchup could be, that could be tough.
Oh, no, I disagree completely. I think the Sixers are a much bigger threat than the Heat at this point.
If so Embiid, like, but if Embiid's healthy, right? I mean, we're still, do you think he just sat for rest?
He keeps limping on and off, but he keeps playing. So, like, I anticipate him being out there. Now, whether or not he can make it through the entire playoffs, that's a completely different story. But if you're just looking at a 2-7 matchup, then, yeah, like, I look at Embiid playing, and I look at that being a much more difficult thing. I know we're scared of the Heat, and I know they have the potential to turn it up and Jimmy Butler to go into playoff mode. But to me, the Sixers are much more dangerous at this point.
Well, for sure, one thing that's missing for the Knicks is, you know, not that he's a bona fide big, but losing Julius Randle, I'm amazed that they're still at the level they are. That I felt that was going to be a really big loss, but my God, Jalen Brunson really playing well. But yeah, and again, the Pacers going against Milwaukee, the Pacers have played them well so far in the regular season. I kind of like that matchup. We'll just have to see, you know, how effective Giannis is, if that little injury he pulled up with is going to be that significant.
Well, Embiid's banged up and Giannis is banged up. So, like, the two biggest stars in the East, we don't know how many games they're going to play. We don't know how long they're going to be able to play and how effective they're going to be. That Bucks-Pacers series will be fun just because you got a little bit of hard feelings probably from the play-in. Was it the semifinals, I guess, where Halliburton's given the Dame time?
Yes.
To Dame. So those two going head-to-head, and then you combine it with Dame Lillard. His playoff moments, yes, but also his playoff failures and not really able to be, you know, to get through and break through and do anything, you know, special in the playoffs as a team. I know he's had great moments as a player, but, you know, it's championship aspirations in Milwaukee, who, of course, coached by Doc Rivers, one of the more underachieving postseason coaches of all time. So that series will be fun. I like Orlando-Cleveland, too, just in the someone's got to win it thing. And, like, Cleveland may be on its last leg with this core. I like the Magic in that series. And if that's the case, then I imagine the Cavs are going to make a pretty big drastic move in the offseason, maybe trading Donovan Mitchell somewhere. But I like that in the East. In the West, you have some real intrigue, as, you know, the Suns were able to get out of the play-in tournament. They were able to get that sixth seed. I already talked about them playing Minnesota, a team that they're 3-0 against with three comfortable wins against. It dropped the Pelicans into the play-in tournament, which means you have Zion, LeBron, and Curry all in the play-in tournament with the Sacramento Kings. So that first little four, that four-team round robin or whatever, a four-team tournament, I find that to be really fascinating this week in terms of who the odd team out is. I think the Kings are going to lose to the Warriors, probably, but that's a do-or-die game for the Kings and Warriors. You know, a rematch of last year's Game 7, a really fun first-round series. The Pelicans and Lakers, you know, that's a fun one, too. The Lakers dominated the Pelicans yesterday in a game. But if you're the Lakers or the Pelicans, I don't know if winning that game is worth it. Because the way the seeding shook out in the West, Oklahoma City able to get the one seed, a really magical season for them. Denver, the two seed after kind of choking away, maybe left them off my winners list on accident, but Wimby, what he did on Friday was amazing. I don't know if you saw, Bob, 17 points in 3 minutes in the third quarter for Wimby as he helped bring them back. They were 20 points down, and all of a sudden he scored 17 straight. Not a 17-0 run, but 17 of his team's points in 3 minutes.
He looked like KD pulling up in those transitions.
Yeah, games. Yeah, and you're just like, what the hell are we going to do with this? Like, it's something that, like, he's been as good as advertised, maybe even better than advertised in his first year. Like, he is maybe already the most impactful defensive player, which no surprise there in terms of his length, but, like, his basketball IQ, his durability, there were no real injury concerns. Same for Chet Holmgren. I saw him kind of doing a victory lap saying he played all 82 games after everyone said he was too weak and brittle. So he made it through an 82-game season. But, yeah, Wemby maybe should have been a winner of the weekend just because he had that huge comeback against Denver, which knocks them out of the one seed, which means Denver's the two seed, which means if you are someone like the Lakers, who do you want to play in the first round? You want to take your chances with Denver, a team that swept you out of the playoffs last year and, of course, won the championship? Or would you rather take your chances with an Oklahoma City team that I don't want to say is happy to be there, but let's face it, kind of happy to be there? Because if I'm the Lakers, I'm like, hey, Pelicans, you got this. You guys win the first game. We'll take our chances at home against the Kings or the Warriors. Because I'd much rather play the Thunder if I'm the Lakers. And, hell, quite frankly, if that is the matchup that comes to fruition, the Lakers might be favored in that series. Maybe.
Interesting stat I saw was AD, when he's gone head-to-head this season with Sabonis at Sacramento, Sacramento's 3-0.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea.
It's I don't know if that's fair to really judge. And Sabonis has put up good numbers. Davis has done really good against him too. But, like, the Lakers, to me, didn't really start taking off until, like, after the All-Star break. Kind of when they made it through there and, like, realized, okay, here's our team. Because, like, LeBron just kind of held those guys hostage all through December and January. I mean, if you remember, like, saying Bronny could play for them now. Saying that, you know, got to get some help. So it's like, hey, everyone's on notice. And if you're walking around that locker room, like, you're involved in trade rumors at some point. Everyone except Anthony Davis involved in trade rumors. But, like, it seemed like once they got to, like, March, the last month especially, they went into a different gear. And like LeBron always kind of does, his team rounds into shape in time for the playoffs. So the Sabonis stats against the Lakers and AD, they're cute. But, like, in a playoff game, especially a one-off in Los Angeles, I'm taking Anthony Davis and LeBron over that Kings team that's kind of come back down to earth after last year.
Yeah. I do think – I agree with you. Those play-in games in the West are going to be pretty epic. The magnitude of them, of course, you know, that Golden State-Sacramento, it's win or go home. But then just going past that to the winners getting together, I think it's going to be – that's going to be fun to watch. You put these guys in as one of your losers of the weekend, mm-hmm. Minnesota Timberwolves. This was pretty interesting, and I saw this on CBSSports.com. It kind of reminded me of this because I think we even talked about it way back when. About, you know, they lost. There was a one-game difference between them getting the number one seed or ending up where they are with the three seed. And they talk about the January 22nd game where the Timberwolves built an 18-point second-half lead against the Charlotte Hornets. And this was the game where Karl Anthony Towns was trying to
score 70 or whatever
score 70
it was,
yeah. And they lost the game.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, it's like it really matters. You know what I mean? It goes all the way back to that. It felt like a bit of a deep cut, but then when I think about it, it's like it's true, you know?
Well, no, it was a game that their coach, I mean, he was apoplectic after the game. Yeah. Like, this is embarrassing. The effort they gave in the fourth quarter is embarrassing. He benched Karl Anthony Towns for a bit in that fourth quarter, finally down the stretch, because, like, you're making a mockery of the game. And, yeah, the Hornets stole that game. That is funny because that is the difference between them being the one seed and them falling all the way down to number three. But same as Denver, like, blowing a 21-point lead to the Spurs. But right. At least in that case, it was like, hey, Wimby is a freak. And Wimby just went nuclear. And like Sam said – went full Kevin Durant during that stretch, hitting pull-up threes. The Hornets ain't got a Wimby. The Hornets ain't got a Wimby. And if you're Denver, you're probably okay with playing anywhere. You're not worried about home court advantage as much as somebody like Minnesota should be, who is going to need every little bit of help. But, yeah, the playoff series are somewhat set. Like I said, the Thunder will play the winner of Pelicans, Lakers. Lakers 1-point favorites. Dominated the Pelicans yesterday. Looked like they're in playoff mode, but I do wonder if they actually want to advance and play the Nuggets. Although, if you're the Lakers, can you say that, like, if you're going to have to beat Denver, you'd rather do it early versus late whenever, like, AD and LeBron have played a bunch of extra minutes and a bunch of extra games? Like, you probably want to play them now when you're fresher than usual, right?
Right.
So maybe you do just try to beat the Pelicans and take your chances against that Denver team. And also, maybe if you're LeBron, you're like, hey, I don't care about losing in the first round. I'm about trying to make the champ, like, to win the finals. So, like, losing to Denver in the conference finals versus the first round doesn't do much for me. I'd rather get a little bit extra rest and go home. If I can't beat the team that's standing in front of us, it doesn't matter if it's in the first round or the conference finals. So maybe they will just try to go for it and take their chances against Denver. Denver will play the winner of the first Pelicans-Lakers series. Oklahoma will get the Kings-Warriors/loser of the Pelicans-Lakers. I think I got that backwards when I was breaking it down. Minnesota, the 3 seed, will play Phoenix. Phoenix I was going to say have the best two players in the series, but I think that's unfair to Anthony Edwards, but I don't know. Durant and Booker, you taking both of those guys over Ant? Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got the two best players in the series, and they are 3-0 against them, so it feels like a bad matchup for Minnesota. Phoenix favored to win the series. 4-5 matchup, I think this is the best one, assuming that Kawhi plays, although that's a fool's errand. That's a that seems to be dumb whenever he has any type of body ailment to think that he is going to power through it. But he's been dealing with knee inflammation, and I believe has missed their last 8 games. Clippers-Mavericks, the 4-5 matchup. Clippers with home court advantage, but the Mavericks, much like Phoenix, slight favorites in that series.
Yeah, one of the things that I didn't realize, I just started checking it out recently, is how well Kyrie Irving's playing. I mean, he's...
Dallas has been awesome down the stretch.
Yeah, I think that's going to be... I'm looking forward to that series because I haven't seen much of Dallas recently, but I think that's a great series, as a 4-5 should be. But
they put a classic one in the bubble, too, I believe. That was a good one where I believe it went 7, and Luka was doing everything he could to get them over the finish line, but he couldn't get it done.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to be I love this time of year. The NBA kind of gets dry for me during parts of the regular season, but I always love when we get the postseason here, and it particularly so if your team's in it. That's fun, too. So it's going to be good.
Sam, will you check in now? Because I know you're not an NBA fan, but do the playoffs do anything for you?
Yeah, I'll probably check in. I think if y'all gave me, like, 3 storylines to watch, I'd get more into it.
The biggest ones, I mean, it's hard to do it right now before the series are actually set.
Sure.
But, like, I mean, the play-in tournament, I don't think you really need storylines. Like, you'll have single elimination basketball, so
yeah,
it's kind of
Madness.
I'll
be into that.
Yeah,
into
like,
that.
I mean, Joel Embiid versus Jimmy Butler, you know, for a playoff spot, I think that kind of sells itself.
Sure.
Hawks-Bulls, I can't really do nothing for you there. That's just kind of a nasty game. Kings-Warriors, of course, that's the playoff series from last year. There's a lot of venom there between Sabonis and Draymond. As Draymond stomped him on his chest, like the Kings crowd should be fired up and trying to will them to victory. And then, if you need Zion versus LeBron, I mean, like Zion was supposed to be the next LeBron. LeBron, strangely enough, still better than him. You know, even like 5 years later, the trade for Anthony Davis. Of course, Anthony Davis was a Pelican. They traded with each other. Brandon Ingram playing against his old team. So I think those are kind of connected.
Yeah.
I think there's the potential. Is this the last we're seeing of the Kings?
Sure.
In their not the Kings, the Warriors in their current state as we know them. You know, this could be, particularly if they lose right off the bat, that might be some sort of reset going on in the offseason for them.
Yeah, I don't even think it matters if they lose to the Kings or turn around and lose to LeBron or the Pelicans. If they miss the playoffs, yeah, you can't justify keeping that aging core together. Just how drastic of a change will they make? Yeah, that'll yet to be seen. Because, like, Klay's gone, I feel like, for sure.
Yeah.
It's just whether or not they try to do something with Draymond or some of the young guys, too, or if Curry asks out. I don't think he will. Like, it feels like if you're Curry, you just become a Warrior lifer and do the whole Dirk and Kobe thing. But if you're Curry and you want to win championships, probably not going to happen again in Golden State. So what does he say? But, yeah, like, the play-in tournament, there's enough drama there. But, I'll get you set up by Friday. By Friday, I'll try to sell you on the series.
I think I'm most interested in just all the young teams that are in there. Like, I like the Magic and, like, the Thunder and stuff like that. Like, I like those teams that are just now getting to that playoff.
Pacers are young. You can get on board
with
the Pacers.
I'll get in on the Pacers, sure.
Well, no, there are plenty of those storylines for sure. I mean, like, Oklahoma City, brand new, super young. I mean, they're younger than some of the college teams.
Yeah.
I mean, like, their average age is comparable to, like, what the Vols were this year. If you look at the 6-year seniors and stuff, like, Minnesota, not as young, but, like, led by Anthony Edwards, who, like, this could be a star-making postseason for him. The Clippers, Mavericks, like, that's Luka trying to, you know, try to carry that team deep. And that's, like, the Clippers who are, you know, been built for the postseason, and like they have all these stars together, and you throw James Harden in there now, you know, James Harden, Paul George can't win in the postseason. You throw them with Kawhi, who's supposed to be the biggest postseason winner, but none of those guys can stay healthy or get over the hump. And like, what do they do with that franchise and James Harden's free agency? Like, that's kind of a last stand. Same as Durant. He ain't got many playoff runs in him left. So like, I like, you know, the Suns trying to get through with their quote unquote super team, big three. I do think there'll be some drama there. And then, yeah, in the East, there's a lot of new blood in the East. I mean, the Knicks is a 2 seed, the Magic, like you said, at 5, and Paolo, and those are going to be some gross games between the Cavs and Magic. So, like, I don't know if yeah, like, neither one of those teams can score.
Okay.
The Magic are just all defense, no scoring. Like, whatever scoring they do is going to have to be Paolo being special. So, like, that's going to be an ugly series.
Okay.
And then the Pacers, Bucks, like, that's just going to be – do the Bucks try to play any defense at all? That'll be the question. Like, does Doc Rivers choke? Can he make any adjustments to get them to actually play defense? Because the Pacers have played really well against them so far this year. But no, I like the seeding. I think the matchups are good. The Cavs Magic's the only one I look at and say, ooh, gross. But it's not ooh, gross in a bad way. It's just like that's going to be really ugly, like old school basketball, like mid-2000s, 85 to 90 type of like high scores feels like that. It might be that.
Back to the West, one more storyline too, I think, with Minnesota is
– Minnesota.
They – you know, remember how much criticism they got? I guess it was last year for going with the too big lineup, and they stuck to it, and it has worked this year. I mean, Anthony Edwards is really the straw that stirs the drink for sure, but I think that's kind of a different, that's a bit of a departure in this NBA too, having that approach. But it seems to be working for them.
It would have been a lot cooler had they been the actual one seed, and
right.
We talk about this, but like,
right.
It's. Something I heard Austin Rivers talk a lot about when he does his podcast, but he's like, hey, people don't really realize how injured Gobert was last year, so that's kind of why he sucked so bad last year. It was like he was hurt, and now that he's back healthy, there's no coincidence that the Wolves' defense has been so good just because that's what he does.
Yeah.
But on the same story, different hand, you look and you say, well, the Jazz had a lot of good regular seasons too with Rudy Gobert. They were the one seed a couple times, or at least a top seed. And then got to the playoffs, and he got played off the court. So, like, I think in the back of your mind, you still worry about if Gobert can play in the playoffs. Because, like, the Clippers ran him off the court. You know, stretching him out and playing five wide. Like, the Suns are kind of built that way, too, where, you know, maybe they played Durant the five a little bit and just stretched Gobert out. So, on one hand, Minnesota did make the worst trade of all time and everything they gave up for Gobert. It looked really, really bad last year. It looks less worse this year, but when you make those trades, it's not for regular season success. It's about trying to go deep in the playoffs, and now we'll see if Gobert's learned any lessons over the last couple years. I'm pumped for tomorrow when the play-in tournament gets started. There's part of me that's ready for the Hawks season to end. There's another part of me that's going to be rooting hard to beat the Bulls and beat the Heat and just get into the 8th seed just to say you made the playoffs. So the NBA did do good with the play-in tournament. The Kings and Warriors being involved, the Warriors especially being involved, is good ultimately for the interest in those one-offs. So I'm pumped. Last call on the other side. We'll wrap up this show. Stick with us. It's the Morning Show on Fan Run Radio.
The first annual Fan Run.
Sister cries out from her baby bed. Brother runs
all right, we got a couple NFL news and notes on the way out. I guess T. Higgins, he's given up his game of chicken with the Bengals as he says, yeah, I anticipate I'll play on the franchise tag. Says he'll show up and play.
But there was talk that maybe the Steelers had some discussions about T.
I didn't see that with T. I saw the Steelers had some discussions about Brandon Ayuk, who I guess got the wide receiver diva treatment this weekend because he had unfollowed the 49ers on like Instagram. So people were connecting the dots there. And, you know, we're talking about how he wants a new contract, and the 49ers I don't think are going to be able to afford to pay him.
Could be good news for Juwan Jennings.
Yeah, I mean, Jennings is a cheap commodity there and a reliable guy. I mean, he's not Brandon Ayuk, who I think is really, really, really good. Some of those numbers that you look at for wide receivers actually have him as a pretty consistent atop the board, top three wide receiver. I know we don't think of him in that way, but he's really, really, really good. He's elite even. People always talk about Deebo Samuel on that 49ers team, but, like, Ayuk's the best receiver they have. I don't think people really think of it that way. So, if I'm him, yeah, I want to get paid. He's talking over $30 million a year. And the 49ers are like, hey, we can't really afford that. We can't really make that happen. So now they're going to kind of be in a game of chicken all offseason. So if you are thinking of a elite receiver getting traded around the draft, the two names that stand out are Jefferson and Ayuk, right? Diggs is already gone. His name would have been on the chopping block for sure. But, like, Ayuk and Jefferson. Jefferson not so much because he's disgruntled as much as Minnesota's just like, hey, we're going to kind of have to rebuild a little bit here and not be paying wide receivers big money whenever we're trying to build our roster and find a quarterback and all those things. So, yeah, Ayuk was kind of the story this weekend in the NFL, as well as one guy who apparently just won't go away.
Yeah. I was a little troubled to hear Tom Brady doing that, saying that, hey, if I got the call, I still can play. That, man, when is enough enough for a guy, right?
Do we think that T was kind of joking? Because, you know, one of the teams he mentioned was like the Patriots. Of course, the Patriots aren't actually going to call him and get him to come back. And he's talking about the Raiders and being a team owner. But he did say, look, I'm always going to be in shape. I'm always going to be able to throw the football. So, yeah, if down the stretch, if a team has a quarterback go down and needs somebody to come in for a championship run, like, yeah, I'll listen. Which I thought was pretty funny that he would even say that at this point. And I can't be too thrilled if I'm NBC paying him, what is it, $50 million a year or something crazy? I mean, I know something that.
Fox.
Fox, okay, yeah.
No, that's the first thing I thought of. You know, he's got a commitment to them. And yeah, well, I think it's all – and maybe he's just – stirring up the social media cycle and giving us guys stuff to talk about, because if he gets his ownership cut approved, it's a moot point. He won't be able to do that anyway.
Could he play for the Raiders as part owner of the Raiders?
Because
Michael Jordan did that in the NBA when he was part owner of the Wizards.
That's a fair question. I don't know.
He said he didn't know either.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's probably never had to worry about it because the person's not had the money or the standing. But, like, you would think if you could play and have ownership stake that, like, that would always be kind of put into contract negotiations. Like, if I'm Patrick Mahomes, I'm like, I'm retiring now unless you make me part owner of the Chiefs. Which, I mean, like, so you might run into some stuff there. So I'm going to guess the NFL is probably going to say no to that.
I would think so.
But I don't know if Jordan actually – did Jordan actually own part of the Wizards whenever he played for him? I know he bought them after that.
I don't know if he did.
Yeah. Or did he even have any ownership of that? Was it the Hornets? Maybe, I know he owned the Hornets too, but maybe he didn't have any ownership of the Wizards. Maybe
I tried to black out his time in Washington. That was such an embarrassment for him.
That seems like a conflict of interest to have a player with ownership stake. Yeah. But I don't know.
No, I think you're
– it's crazy LeBron's right, still so. In those years that Jordan was with the Wizards and he's still – triple-double yesterday, like 27, 17, 11 or something crazy like that.
Yeah, I just that's the part of I acknowledge his greatness with Brady, but it's he's becoming no different than some of these players that had trouble letting go, you know, when they left the game. It's like, just go take your tens of millions, hundreds of millions and move on and do TV and do your ownership thing. I don't need to see him playing again.
Jordan did get some minority ownership stake in the Wizards before he played for them, okay? Because they named him the vice president of basketball operations as well as a minority owner in January of 2000. So.
Wait, wasn't that that makes sense. Wasn't that around the time, remember, they drafted Kwame Brown and he berated the living daylights out of him, pretty much ruined him, is what some people thought. Yeah, he was probably overdrafted too, but.
It's not good not to relitigate the Kwame Brown selection, but I always heard, like, small hands, which seems like a really bad thing for a big man. Like, I feel like your big man needs really big hands.
Yeah.
And, like, he can't palm a basketball. He's, like, 6'11", can't palm a basketball. And, yeah, like, you draft a high schooler and then have him get berated by Michael Jordan probably doesn't help either, especially, like, while the owner, part of the owner is, like, playing on the team and yelling at him. It's like, yeah, that didn't go well. Probably the wrong pick, though, like you said. But, yeah, Tom Brady not closing that door. He just simply won't go away. I think he was joking, though. I don't think we're going to see Tom Brady in 2024. Right?
I wouldn't think right? so. Right? One last one, too. A quarterback I can get behind on this thing is Joe Burrow saying claiming that the NFL taunting penalty wants it changed. He's pro-taunting, which I thought was like, I mentioned that to Sam in the break, and Sam was like, let's go, man. He was like, that's awesome.
What is the reason for taunting penalties? To try to, like, keep them from fighting? Like, they have helmets on. Like, you can still have a personal foul. You can still throw penalties and ejections for, like, throwing punches and fighting. But, like, if somebody stands over somebody and looks down at them after an incompletion or a big hit, like, that's okay. That's all right.
No fun league.
Like, they did, you know, loosen up the rules for touchdown celebrations. They do allow at least people to celebrate touchdowns now a little bit. And that hasn't led to any fights or anything.
Yeah.
When teams get interceptions and run down to the front and take their team photo, like, nothing's happened. We haven't broken out in war.
To quote Burrow, he said, we're all grown adults working really hard at what we do, and sometimes we'd like to show it. I'm not going to get my feelings hurt if somebody sacks me and taunts me like you made a play. I get it. Like, good for you. Like, all right, Joe. I like Joe. Yeah. I already liked Joe, but he won't be trying to play when he's 47 or whatever. I just don't see him doing that.
No. Joe also takes a lot of hits, so I don't think he's going to age to where he will be able to do that. Yeah. But also, Joe, I could see him on TV, though. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, he retired, if we see him on TV in 2039 or 40.
Yeah.
Is that your bet? 2039?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of a long career. I feel like he's maybe shorter than 2039.
You're probably right. I mean, I don't know. How are guys going to age?
Yeah.
Now, not everyone's going to be Tom Brady, of course, but like, is 17, 18 years, is that too much to say for Burrow? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know.
Two season-ending injuries already.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not wrong. For my sake, I hope he's less than that.
Yeah. Fair enough. 2037. Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay. 2037. Joe Burrow coming to a TV near you. Put that down. Board bet. By the way, did you ever go back and listen about my lunch?
I actually meant to do this last night, and then I fell asleep. And I'm going to this afternoon.
Oh, how convenient.
And we'll settle it up.
Oh, how convenient. The G.I. Jake Show coming up next.